The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Lift those hands. May every ear be anointed to hear. May every heart be receptive to receive all that heaven has today, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday, we talked about the supernatural church, supernatural persecution, the morning and the night. We talked about how to deal with persecution. If you did not get those messages, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. But because of persecution, you'll find yourself in difficult places. Not of your own choosing, but you decided to obey God and you found yourself in a place and all hell broke loose. Now, how do you get out of it? And I'm going to talk about that. How to get out of difficult situations. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read from verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which showed us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. Now, I want you to stop there and think about this for a moment. If, let's say, that somebody came to church here or came to the stand, and every night when I got up to preach, they jump up and go, This man is a servant of the Most High God, which shows unto us the way of salvation. Many times people go, amen, amen, because obviously, you know, what she's saying is not wrong. Are you with me? Except the Bible says she did it many days. So in other words, Paul had to put up with this. And then suddenly Paul, being grieved in his spirit, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So that was actually a demon that was manifesting, saying the right thing, which, you know, you could say it was a religious spirit. I don't care what kind of spirit it was, but it was a demon manifesting, and Paul got irritated. So sometimes when you get irritated, and I'm not going to blame, you know, sometimes preachers blame everything on irritation, the Lord was thing, but they're just really cranky. Are you with me? So you have to make sure that the irritation is really God and not just you being a jackass. No, otherwise people go around treating people in a terrible way, and that's not the way that God wants it. Are you with me? So Paul, being grieved, turned and said, I command you to come out. When the masters saw that the hope of their gain or their income was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace under the rulers. So now, here you are doing the work of God, but it gets you into trouble because you set a woman free. You know, we had a gypsy family visit the church here one day. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you get these people to visit? I don't know. I had come in from a meeting in Long Island, and we were doing the student banquet over in the Marriott downtown, and I got in late. And my son-in-law, actually, I don't believe he was married to Kirsten at the time, but he was engaged or whatever, but my future son, maybe he was married. I don't know, maybe they were just married, I don't know, but I know he was with me, and we pulled up. And at that time, I was driving a car. Somebody blessed me with his car, which I didn't have a couple of years, but don't have it anymore. It was a 600 Mercedes, a Brabus. There's only 1,000 of them. And, you know, I mean, I don't know why somebody would, anyway, want one of 1,000, but anyway. So I got blessed with it. But the thing about the car was just a normal Mercedes, a 600, you know, V12, beautiful. But a Mercedes is a Mercedes. I've had them all, you know, I like my truck. But anyway, so make a long story short. So I pull up at the hotel at like 2 in the morning, and a guy in a big blue Bentley pulls up behind me. And he gets out and looks at my wheels. The thing about the car was the wheels, which I didn't know nothing about wheels. What do I know about wheels? A wheel is just something that you put on a car and it gets you to where you go. But apparently there's some people, they live for wheels. You know, everything's to do with the wheels, you know. I mean, you can have a car, but if it doesn't have the right wheels on it, I mean, you've backslidden, you've strayed from the faith, you know, that kind of stuff, which I didn't know. I didn't know that. But anyway, so this guy gets out of a Bentley and walks to look at my wheels at like after 2 a.m. And I thought, that's really strange. He'd come out of a Bentley to look at my tires. Anyway, so I said, what do you do? He said, I deal with cars, exotic cars. I said, okay. He said, nice tires. I said, okay, great. And I thought about witnessing to him, but you know, he was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. I was very tired. And I thought, you know, I'm going to just get into bed. I'm not going to get much sleep here tonight anyway. But anyway, the morning when I got up, my wife went to go get her hair done, and they do all the updos and all the thing for the banquets and stuff. So she went to get, you know how that is with ladies. It takes a while, you know. And so Kirsten got up. I said, baby, let's go have some breakfast. So we went and laid breakfast. I walk in, I sit down with my daughter, and I look across the table, and there he is, him and his wife and 2 kids. And so I felt the way I'm going to reach him, because I know he's got money, you know, I'm going to reach him. I'm going to have an opportunity to witness him. I called the waitress over and said, I'm paying for his meal. I'm going to pay for his whole meal. So when they were wanting to check out and he looked for the bill and the lady said, no, the bill's taken care of. He took care of it. So he looked at me and said, you didn't have to do that. I said, yeah, I wanted to do that. So I said, what do you do? He said, well, I deal exactly cars. And I said to the lady, what do you do? She said, I'm an Indian healer. An Indian healer. Well, I didn't know what that was. I said, I'm an Indian healer too. I just got back from India. And we healed a lot of Indians over there. And she said, wow. And so now this was probably about, 11:30. I mean, it's a late brunch. Now the restaurant was closing up, but the other part of their family came in. So there were 8 of them. They come and sit around our table. We spend from then to 20 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon talking about Jesus and the things of God. And they felt they could feel the anointing. And what's this? I said, that's the power of God and whatever. So then they found out, you know, that we have meetings. And he said, oh, I'd love to come to one of your meetings. I said, well, it just so happens that I have a church in Tampa. He said, you do? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He said, you're a pastor? He said, you don't look like a pastor. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. And but I said, so tomorrow what I'm going to do, at that time we had one of our young ladies said we'd use that yellow Hummer, you know, to win souls. And I that she got that yellow Hummer. And I said, the yellow Hummer's going to come by the hotel and you follow with your Bentley, follow the yellow Hummer. You know, it's a good way. Big, big, bright yellow Hummer with a big, bright blue Bentley following, come to church. And I walked out here on a Sunday morning. They're all sitting there, all 8 of them, right there, right on the front row. When I get the altar call, they all come to get saved. Every one of them come to get saved. So I said to my wife, clear the deck, bring them upstairs for lunch. I want to meet with this family. I actually still didn't know what they did or who they were, whatever. So we're sitting there. And so we sit around the table and I said to them, I've got to ask you the question before we eat our meal. Did you mean what you prayed when we prayed the prayer? Yes. 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 Everybody except the lady. And I looked at her and said, did you mean? She said, I couldn't pray the prayer. I could only pray certain parts of the prayer. And I said, why? She said, because of what I do. And immediately I go, oh my God, who do I have here at my table? What does she do that she couldn't pray a prayer? And she looked at me and she said, I'm a gypsy. I'm a fortune teller. And as she said that, immediately I could see the veil and the big crystal ball and the whole thing. And it was like, I'm sitting at the table going, oh my God. And I said, but lady, I said, don't you understand that Jesus loves you? She said, look, I know. She said, I was saved at the age of 6. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I spoke in other tongues. She said, I know what you're doing is real. But she said, for me to leave what I'm doing now, I bring in $50,000 a month. My whole family is impacted by what I do. And if I leave now, they will lose all their income. And I immediately thought of this passage of scripture. Do you know that? I'm sitting at the table. I burst out weep. I started to weep in front of her. I said, you can help me reach the gypsy community. I said, we can have a mighty revival. I said, they're from Miami all the way to Chicago. I said, you understand? God will give you something greater. And I was weeping. I mean, because I knew that she wasn't going to surrender. And somebody had come from the north and dropped off this fur coat. This fur, beautiful fur coat. We don't wear fur coats in Florida. I mean, we don't wear coats, you know, in Florida, you know. It was really good. And I said to somebody, go get it. And I brought it. And I said, put it on this lady. Wow. And I blessed their children with an iPod that was fully loaded. And I hugged them all. And they left. And I've never seen them again. But let me tell you, that gypsy family will know that 24 hours, somebody took time out of their life and totally engaged with them. But never before did that scripture become so real to me as it came that day, because I realized that she was the one that was bringing the income for the whole family. And you know what she said to me? She said, if I pray that prayer, I can't pray it half. I have to pray it like I believe it, because you don't play around with God. That's what she said to me. My heart broke. Everybody else said they meant it, but she was the kingpin. So Paul and Silas are in trouble now because they turned. Can you imagine? We got that lady totally saved that day. That's 50 grand a month. Psh, gone. And the whole family, she said, you don't understand. Gypsies are very tight. Families are very tight. You don't walk away. It's not like something you just walk away from. But she said, I know the truth. Sure. I spoke in tongues. I felt the presence of God today. It was like almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So sometimes you can get yourself into trouble by doing what's right. Are you with me? So Paul and Silas, I can just see Silas go, great, great. I know they warned me not to come with Paul. They said traveling with him is very hazardous and you're going to get yourself into trouble. I mean, he's always in something, escape at night in a basket, you know, shipwreck the night and the day in the deep. Who wants to join Paul's missionary association to travel with them? Huh? Somebody said, you travel with him, you better be prayed up. You better be ready. You never know what's going to happen. So they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. So now, okay, this is great. Now I'm going to get beaten. And when they had laid many stripes on them, which I don't think people actually put themselves into that position. I mean, I'm talking about you getting beaten. In most cases, they tie you to a post. They pull your cloak off you or your garment. Your back is totally exposed, and they beat you. They don't, it's like a 5 taps. Achoo! I mean, you talk about a lashing. Many stripes. Everybody say many stripes. Charging them, the jailer, to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. So now they took them, they put them in the dungeon and put their feet in stocks so they couldn't even move. I mean, you're already behind bars, you're already in the innermost prison, you can't go anywhere, but now you can't even move, and you got your feet in. And so what it says here, at midnight, Paul did a video and zoomed and just said, people, it's bad. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. So what do you do when you get yourself in a difficult situation? Pray. Now, why do I say that? Because most people get into a difficult situation, they talk about it. And they find somebody to talk about it to. How many ever know you get in a problem, you get on the phone, I just got to tell you, hey, this has come to, oh no, that's just terrible. But somebody said, how are you doing? Well, I'm praying about it. You never prayed anything. You didn't pray one thing. You talked about it. Talking about the problem is not going to change anything. You have to pray. You have to pray. You have to stop everything and just begin to pray right at that moment. He says, yet midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Who wants to sing in a dungeon? Who wants to sing with your feet in stocks? And I thought about this when I got arrested and put into prison. You know, of course, I wasn't in for midnight. Was it midnight? Trust me, if I'd have been kept overnight, I would have. I'd have practiced the scripture, you know, just start singing loud or whatever. But they put me in prison. I was so tired, I actually sat down and fell asleep in the prison. So I went to sleep, which probably I would have been tired back then. I would have fallen asleep. Paul would have woken me up while he was praying. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. In other words, from the dungeon comes a sound of worship. From a dungeon, from the deepest, darkest place. And it says at midnight. What does midnight mean? Midnight is the darkest hour of your life. It can't get any darker than midnight. It gets dark to midnight, and then from midnight it starts to get light again. The darkest hour is midnight. Are you with me? They sang praises, and they didn't sing under their breath. Prisoners cannot hear you when you whisper. We're in prison. Hallelujah. I sort of think of that old song. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory. And the grave has been denied. His is this forever. He's alive. He's alive. And there are rats running around. Pentecostal rats. And the water is dripping in the dungeon, and you can hear this, the water. We have a leaking roof at our house. We were lying in bed last night, and we can hear it dripping in the bathroom. I was thinking Paul and Silas. Fortunately, there's no rat. But I did go to the restroom the other day, and a huge roach ran right across the room. My God. He was carrying some of my stuff and was like, put it back, leave it, and send him on to roach heaven. Anyway, so they sang. It wasn't a roach, it was a palmetto bug. A palmetto bug. They're a little different than a roach, but they look like a roach, but they're not a roach. They're palmetto bugs. How many know the difference? All right. You northerners will get educated to what is actually a roach and what is a palmetto bug. So they sang. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. So what does this tell me? When we pray and we sing, that's what he's going to go do in Chicago. When you pray and sing, that's what we do here with the all-night prayer meetings that run for 12 hours. When we pray through the night from 6:30 to 6:30, and we pray through the night, when we pray and sing, God hears from heaven. Don't get too excited now, but I couldn't handle it. Tone it down just a little bit. Somebody might hear you. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Now, not only was all the doors open, but everyone's bands were loosed. Now, this was not just them. This was all the prison. You're going to get something now. In other words, when God brings deliverance to you, it's going to impact everybody else that's in captivity. God didn't just set them free. The whole prison was set free. The doors were open. The chains were loosed. Well, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. In other words, your freedom and your deliverance will bring others into freedom and into deliverance. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say, at midnight and the darkest hour, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to moan. I'm going to pray. I'm going to sing praises. I'm going to sing so loud that not only I hear, but everybody else in captivity hears. And the same will happen for me as it happened for Paul and Silas. Now look at this. The keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. Because when you are given the task of keeping people locked up, and then suddenly on your watch, they've escaped, it's not even worth living. You've lost everything. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm. We all here. Oh, all of us are here. So the other prisoners heard. Now, I don't know what happened to them, but I promise you they had a conversion moment. I tell you, you can't come and spend a night in prison with Paul and Silas and have an earthquake and a deliverance and then it not impact your life. Those prisoners, they probably launched out. They had ministries. There were pastors that came out of there. You know, somebody wrote a book. I was in prison with Paul, you know. I was there at midnight. You know. Amen. So Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. And he called for light and sprang in and came trembling. When I first read that as a kid, I thought he was smoking because he called for a light. Somebody light my cigarette. I need a light. But it wasn't. He called for a light and spread it and fell down before. I take everything literally in the scripture. You understand? Especially when you read the King James, you have to go a little deeper to find out what he was talking about. He fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? So not only will your deliverance from you praying and you worshiping set you free, but set others free and then result in the salvation of many. So don't grumble and gripe when you get yourself into a bad situation. Say, bless God, we're coming out of this and we're going to have a testimony here and many lives are going to be touched by this and many lives are going to be set free and people are going to get saved. I could have moaned to the Lord when I got arrested and said, oh, that's just great. I needed this. I need another hole in my head. Right. You know, there are people already think I'm crazy. Now my mugshot's all over the planet. God, why did you even do that? But the Lord said, you walk through the door for others to walk through because they're afraid. And so then the dominoes begin to topple from that day. And here we are. Here we are at the River Church, worshiping God freely with no restraint. No restraint. Trust me, if masks worked, they would have been banned along with hydroxychloroquine. Just so you know, they don't want anything that works. Anyway, moving right back onto this. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke on him the word of the Lord, to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. So not only did he get saved, he got baptized in water. And when he brought them into his house, he set meat. So yes, the prison, the head of the prison now feeding them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates said to the sergeants, saying, let these men go. And the keeper of the prison told, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you know, now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said, you have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. So he didn't want to be turned, no, you put us in here, you get us out of here. And the sergeant told the word to the magistrate, and they feared when they heard they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and they departed. So persecution was what they were faced. Persecution put them in prison. Persecution threw them into a dark place. And you might find yourself in many places from now till Jesus comes. Why are we getting these things? I don't know. Why some people, they go free and other people don't. Why some people get, I can remember when the Lord opened the door for us to go to Egypt. And we went in there. We had 3,000 people saved in Cairo. I called Rana Bonk and said, I just got back from Egypt. We had 3,000 saved. And Rana had never been there. So Ronald decided to go. Well, a few weeks later, I get a call. It's Ronald. Rodney, I'm in prison. So I went to Egypt. They rolled out the red carpet. They took my passport. They walked me through. You would have thought I was some dignitary arriving or whatever. We had favor. Well, I don't understand. Ronald goes, he's in jail for 40 hours. I thought it was funny. No, because normally, all the bad stuff just happened to me. You know what I mean? I mean, if anybody was going to go to prison for 40 hours, it'd be me. But no, Ronald went to prison for 40 hours. That encouraged me. Somebody said, well, what did you say? I said, I'll pray for you. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm in America. He's in Cairo in prison. What can I do? I'll pray for you, Brother Ronald. Are you okay? Yeah, obviously he had his cell phone so he could talk to people. Amen. So some people will go into places and you won't have any problems. Other people will go in there and you might have to run. You might have to escape. But whatever situation you find yourself in, when you pray and you worship, and of course, I was raised in Pentecost, so back in the 60s, I already knew this story. And, J. Louse Rock, if you remember, Elvis made famous, And so they just said, well, Paul and Silas were in jail. The earth is God's throne. I mean, the earth is his footstool. Heaven is his throne. And God was just so happy he heard Paul and Silas singing. So he took his foot and started tapping on top of the jail. And that was the first jailhouse rock. And it took place in the Bible. Elvis later on wrote a song about jailhouse rock. But the whole jailhouse rocked and all the chains fell off. And they came out free. So when we worship, when we pray, and what you have to understand, worship and praise is actually the highest form of prayer, because you're not actually asking for anything. You're extolling him. Why do you think we spend up to an hour on Sunday mornings in praise and worship? If this was a regular church, we would have cranked 3 services by now. You'd have walked in. I mean, we would have got you in and out, because that's what it is. It's like a quick, 20 minutes of some worship, smoke, dark room. Smoke, much smoke, dark room. pastor with skinny jeans come out, sit on bar stool, talk slides on slides, wrap up, announcements, and a box at the door. And that's it. You're in and out, and that's it. But why do we do this? Because we know that the congregation is bombarded with every form of thing during the week, that we bring you in here and saturate you with the presence of God in praise and worship to Him. And sometimes it takes, somebody said it doesn't take that long. Trust me, it takes that long. We have to fumigate you. We have to spiritually sanitize you, and angels are walking around with spritzes and sanitizing and getting all that COVID off of you, and you know, and that depression and oppression and fear. Because as you worship, a humble man worships. An arrogant person can worship. As you worship, as you begin to extol Him, as you begin to praise Him, He begins to lift you up. On eagle's wings you soar. Are you with me? Like that old Pentecostal song that we used to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As you're worshiping here, suddenly all the problems of the week and everything that was looming big in your mind that was coming against you that you thought there's no way through, suddenly as you worship, it starts to fade away. And you get lost in His presence, and all you begin to think about Jesus, how wonderful He is, how awesome He is, how majestic He is, how mighty He is, and you just lose yourself in the presence of God. Do you know how blessed I have been just being here today already? I mean, forget the clock and the sunglasses. I mean, I have been blessed just already. Me, myself, I have been touched today already by the presence of the Lord. Me, myself, I'm so happy I came to church today. I'm not preaching to just you. I'm preaching to me. This is stuff you have to live by. Somebody said, yeah, but I don't sing that well. I sing out of tune. It doesn't matter. The prisoners don't know that. Just sing out of tune loud. Amen. Some might come set you free just to stop the noise. It's like the dog howling outside the window, you know. Somebody shut that dog up. The Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
Nobody's about to sign you for a record contract or a deal. You're about to sing your way out of prison. You're about to sing your way out of jail.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter how it sounds. We're going to go to take two. Take three. Religion worries how it sounds. I tell you, I was there with Paul and Silas. It was terrible. Silas, Paul was in key, on key, but Silas was off. We had a piano. We sat trying to find it. He wasn't even on the white notes. He wasn't on the black notes. He was in the cracks. Because it comes from the heart. It's the heart of amplified. What do we talk about? Just in the past week with the all-night prayer meeting, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a fervent prayer doesn't sound theologically right, because you didn't stand there, Father God, we thank you, Father God, that as we stand here today, Father God, we pray, and then they go more theological, that God, in thy great love and thy great mercy and thy sovereignty, thou dost look down from thy holy habitation upon us, O God. And then they throw in some big words where you don't even know what it is. God doesn't even know what it is. God says to an angel, what's he talking about? Angel comes, Webster's Dictionary. He's using some words from the 18th century. And in the Latin Vulgate, it means. Because you always got the critics sitting on the side to hear how the prayers. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Amen. Passionate, fiery. Amen. Fiery. And the same with worship. Somebody says they worship too loud. They worship too loud. Yeah, well, there's some prisoners got to hear us. Amen. There's some prisoners got to hear us. Hallelujah! Gloria a Dios! Mas fuego! Fuego de Dios! Gozo de Dios! Río de Dios! Now, I will tell you this, because this was the first time I ever been arrested. I'll tell you about it. I often wondered what would it be like when you got arrested. I was actually shocked. What happened was I had a total peace.
Amen. Come on.
I had a total peace. Like genuinely, like a peace. I was like chilled. Like a sheep going to the slaughter. I really was at peace. That's why when they opened the door, the cell put me in, I sat down and went to sleep. Within 2 minutes, I sat down and I folded my arms. I just scanned the cell, you know, it's like a hard bench with slats and then another seat that's fastened to the ground. And then over the wall was this stainless steel toilet with a basin, which, you know, I was going to, you know, go and... The wall was see-through. One way, you know, but I could see them outside. But when you hear that door clunk behind you, you know, and then you hear the key lock and everything, and I'm sitting there. And then I was thinking about Paul and Silas. So they were in the dungeon. Why did they put me in the dungeon? They took the handcuffs off me and put me in the cell. My feet aren't even in stocks. I thought, I didn't hear any water dripping. I didn't see any rats running. It was a very nice facility. But I sat down and went to sleep. Partly because I was tired. So that's what you do when you're tired. I mean, there was a camera in the cell, so they thought I was going to be pacing like this, you know. I can't believe that I'm arrested. I tell you what, my God. There was no pacing. I just went to sleep. Paul and Silas weren't pacing. They couldn't. Their feet were tied up. But they purpose in their heart, we're going to pray. We're going to pray and we're going to sing. So you pray a little bit, and you sing a little bit. When you finish singing, you pray some more. When you finish praying, you sing some more. And you pray and sing. Is this helping anybody here today? Put the stupid television off. Shut your stupid Netflix up. Stop searching everything on the internet. That ain't gonna help you. Pray and sing. I want you to get one song this week that you sing every day. Take one song and sing it every day. Sing it in the morning. Sing it in the shower. Sing it when you're driving down the road. Sing it when you're getting dressed. Sing it. Sing it. Sing. Sing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Ratalabaco so rebagata, ah, barreto so, mira, mandroso corridiga. Hallelujah. Woo, capay is so propanda. Man, I felt that. Man, I felt that. Choparique, stopayeto. Great is the victory. Great is the victory. Great is the victory. Not only will the Lord deliver you, but the people will repair the wounds. They will go out of their way. You will have favor. You will have supernatural favor. You might have to leave the area, but you'll be spared by the hand of God. Can you say amen? So even as you and your band go to Chicago and Daly Plaza, as you sing, chains are going to be broken, yokes are going to be broken, people are going to get set free, and that's going to permeate the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And a boldness shall come upon all those involved. So let's do this right now by way of exercise. I want you to picture yourself right now in a dungeon. You've been arrested. You've been put in a dungeon. Your feet are in stocks and you're hanging out with Paul. And it's midnight. If God could use his people when they marched around Jericho 7 days, and then the last day 7 times, and they shouted and the walls came down, I've already prayed. So just open your mouth and begin to worship right now. Come on. Come on. Come on, so that the prisoners can hear you. Some of you are not putting your effort in. You're like a silent partner. Come on, Silas. Paul's worshiping. Paul's praying. Paul's singing. Come on. Lift up your voice. Chain, every chain, every yoke. Now I want you to shout, for God's given you the city. Come on. Come on and lift those voices. You in your homes, you watching by television, lift up your voice and shout. I know the world will think you're crazy, but it doesn't really matter. They're going to hear. Because we're not going to be silent. We're going to shout it from the mountaintops. We're going to shout it from the rooftops. Until the whole world knows. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now, let me say one thing and then we're going to pray. It would be terrible when the prison doors are open, the chains are loosed, the doors are open, and you're still sitting inside. How many of you have ever gone to a door and you thought it was locked, but it was actually open? How many of you have even tried a door, but you tried it wrongly and you thought it was closed? The prison doors are open. Open. Open! They open! And you can personalize this into any situation that you're facing right now. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love one more than the other. And if Paul was look over the banister, could talk to you, said, hey, let me show you what worked for me. When I get to heaven, I'm going to tap Paul on the shoulder and go, thank you, man. That helped me so many times. I used your example. Thank you. So get your song for the week. You're going to sing it. Every time you want to say something, you shouldn't say sing. You're going to sing. You're going to sing it. And you're going to rejoice. And watch what's going to happen. Can you say amen? Praise God. Did you get something out of this morning? Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want everybody to bow your heads for a few moments, please. You're watching by way of television. I want to give an invitation today. And then before we close today, we're going to all receive communion, which is what we do here. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in this room or you're watching by way of television, you've never, ever given your heart to Jesus. You never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if today was your last day on the earth? Where would you spend eternity? Where would you go? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to devil's hell because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of sin will be broken off of you. The power of guilt and shame will be removed from your life. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today he calls you. He says, come. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord. Maybe you are in this room today and once upon a time you gave your life to the Lord, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've been in one too many dungeons and didn't feel like you ever saw a breakthrough. But today God wants to set you free. Will you surrender today? Will you say, Jesus, come? Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Will you surrender? He'll never force anything on you. It's whosoever. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And so you feel like, well, what is the use anyway? They know what I've done. I'll never amount to anything. That's a lie from hell. God's a God of a second chance and a new beginning. Will you say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I need to have the joy of my salvation restored to me. Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we describe. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world, but today you say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you're watching by way of television, you love the Lord, you gave your heart to him, but you're not sure of your salvation. There's that doubt. But I want that doubt to be removed today. Without a doubt, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God. Remember this in the book of Revelation. He talks about people's temperature, the heart. Right in the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. He said, you're not hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. He said, I spew you out of my mouth. In other words, a lukewarm Christian, really God detests. He said, either be hot or cold. So God looks at hearts. He does not look at the outside. He looks at hearts. What's your temperature? Even if you're sitting here today, say, from a scale of 0 to 5, I'm about a 3, 3.5, or 4. You're still not hot. If hot is 5, you have to be hot. If you're not in that place, this is included for you too, because you have to make that move towards God. He said, if you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw nigh to you. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you right where you are. Quickly, put your hand up right now. Say, pray for me. I need Jesus. Put it up high and say, pray for me. God bless you right back there. Another hand right over there. Another hand over here. Another hand over there. Quickly raise up high. Ushers, if you'd help me, another hand over here. Just slip it up high and say, yes, Lord. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. All right, you can put it down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me. in this section here, you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer we pray right now. Quickly, put your hand up and say, include me. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Anybody else under the overhang? Slip your hand up. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand back there. Anybody else? Anyone else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Right at the back. Anybody else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. Say, include me. This section here, you didn't raise your hand, but want to be included. Put your hand up. Quickly. God bless you. God bless you. I want every person that raised your hand to stand across the building, please. Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. I want you to come from where you are and come stand here. We're going to pray together. Come. Come now. Come now. Take the whole world. You can take the whole world. But give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want everybody standing here, if you look at me, please. Today you've not come to man, but you've come to the Lord. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. And we're going to pray one prayer. One prayer fits all. I want you to close your eyes and just raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And pray this together with me. Say this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me, cleanse me, change me, fill me, use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin, and I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank Him right now. Just thank Him. Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your Spirit, that on that day no one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God and use them to impact this generation, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen, amen.
This program has been brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International in Tampa, Florida. For more information on the ministry of Drs. Rodney and Adonica Howard Brown, or for additional resources, visit revival.com.